Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news. I'm going to say don't panic from the outset because there are delays ahead. Mbeumo, quiet day ahead, apparently, and will drift through the week before we get anywhere near this deal being done, apparently. Also, Gyökeres, no evidence that Manchester United are interested. What's all that about? Also, Marcus Rashford suffers a transfer blow as Barcelona go all in on Luis Diaz. Also, Garnacho, latest on him. Sir Jim Ratcliffe really wanted Chelsea as well. Have you read that this morning? So, a raft of stories to get through this morning, and I think it's very interesting to sort of assess and see where we are this morning, because I think there's a lot to be said about not panicking and being patient. We're going to start off with Gyökeres, and I'm going to say again, don't panic, because I think there is a way that we can cut through the headlines on a news show and find ourselves exactly where we were last night, optimistic and hopeful. So, I saw a clip last night. Basically, Andy Mitten basically said that he was with senior people at the football club last week and nobody mentioned Gyökeres. There was no evidence that Manchester United were in for Gyökeres. They mentioned number 10s, not number 9s. So, look, that's a significant update because Andy Mitten is a respected journalist, I suppose, around Manchester United, written books, done documentaries, top read in the kindest sense of the word, and somebody that's definitely respected in and around the club. So when he is doing an interview saying that he's got no evidence that Manchester United are in for Gyökeres, then some people will panic and go, what? What? I would answer it like this. First of all, it was a section on TalkSport, which says everything. And second of all, why would Manchester United senior officials stand with Andy Mitten last week and go, yeah, we're after Gyökeres, mate. Put it out there. Please do. So logically, and with all due respect, Andy Mitten doesn't get many transfer stories either. So I would just say, Fabrizio Romano, we've got another update this morning from Simon Jones, who's been good on transfers. Ben Jacobs, David Ornstein, all these people, and also what I saw on Sunday, we are in for Gyökeres. We are in for Gyökeres. And just because Andy Mitten or somebody else says that they aren't, this is the whole point about life. Believe who you want to believe, but I don't believe that. I don't think Andy Mitten is a transfer expert, and I don't think executives at Manchester United are going to tell Andy Mitten that they're, you know, balls deep into a deal with Gyökeres, because what would Andy Mitten do? Probably put it out there publicly, quite rightly. So I'm not panicked by that at all. I'm not panicked by it at all. And as he said himself, if Man United shifts some players, then maybe they will get Gyökeres. And as he said himself, just because I've been told that we're not, doesn't mean that we're not. So I wouldn't panic about that one at all. I really wouldn't panic about it at all. I think the big thing this morning, and I think Mike Keegan in the Daily Mail has literally just put it out, and I'll read this verbatim. The big thing this morning is patience. Definitely, definitely patience, because this is what's come out in the last half an hour from Mike Keegan in the Daily Mail. Manchester United continue talks with Brentford for Mbeumo today, but a quiet day is expected for United. And then David Ornstein has also said developments in Man United's pursuit of Mbeumo this week. United made an opening offer last week, but that was below the level of the fee, and it would take for Brentford to sell, and discussions continue. So there could be developments in their pursuit this week. So look, that's on Mbeumo, which is the deal that we're working on at the moment. So I just feel here that, I mean, get your thoughts in, but I feel that we've just got to have a little bit of calm. It is transfer deadline day, sort of, today, because it's June the 10th. This mini window that opened up for the Club World Cup closes tonight. But then the window opens up again properly on Monday until the end of September. And you can still do deals in between. So I think that where we are at the moment, I'm quite relaxed. But I think going back to Jokeres, and also, look, let's just hit some news on this because we may as well. Simon Jones was the person who broke the story about Branthwaite last year. Manchester United are maintaining contact with Jokeres as they try to secure their main targets. The club have made initial contact with Sporting, with Jokeres believed to have an 85 million release clause. He has a gentleman's agreement with Sporting to leave for 58 million this summer. So that's another update there. What I'll say about Jokeres is, regardless of evidence from Andy Mitten or anybody else, we are in for him. We have been in for him for a considerable period of time, and we do want him. He wants Manchester United. Manchester United are financially trying to find a way, and that's where we are this morning. If we don't do this deal, it'll be because something shocking happens, i.e. Man United pull out, or somebody comes in very quickly and does a deal very quickly. But from what we're hearing, it suits everybody that this deal drifts to the end of June. And everybody is comfortable with that. Jokeres, Sporting, Man United and all the other clubs. So that's where we are as well. And it is only June the 10th. So I'm very relaxed. Don't panic. Look, we're ahead of the game. I woke up this morning and a lot of people are talking about Jokeres falling out with Sporting, which we did last night. So I think we're, you know, they'll be talking about what we're talking about in about 4 hours' time. We're ahead of the game. As I said, complete and utter respect for Andy Mitten as a journalist. But when it comes to transfers, I'm not going to take what he's got to say ahead of, you know, what we've already heard. And even what he said didn't come across as definitive that we're not in for him. He just said, I haven't got any evidence. And I'll tell you what now, I've got WhatsApp numbers. I could go to Man United and say, are we in for Jokeres? They won't tell me. They won't. The people at Man United won't tell you. You know, the day before, you're about, I don't think they'd say we're in for Mbeumo, to be honest. I don't think they would. In my experience, if I got in contact with like head of comms at Man United, I don't think they'd tell me that we're close to an Mbeumo deal because they're professionals. If they put something like that in writing and it goes wrong, they look prats. That's not where you get your information from on transfers. That's not where you get your information from until it's going to get announced. And obviously, we're not at that point with Jokeres at the moment. So I'm very relaxed. We're definitely in for him. We've definitely been in for him for a long time. This is not one of those, and we've had plenty of them. You know, put your names in the chat. Gayton, Schneider, bloody hell, there's been so many over. Vidal, there's been so many over the years where we thought we were in for them and we weren't. I think that would be my message this morning. This is not one of those where there's loads of hype around a name and we were never in for them. We're definitely in for Jokeres. And it was interesting what Andy Mitten said about when he spoke to senior officials at the club last week. Because he spoke to Berada, didn't he? He did an interview with Berada. So when he says senior officials, let's call it how it is. He did an interview with Berada last week for the fanzine that he runs. And so it's obviously Berada. And apparently it's been said that United are focusing on 10s, not number 9s. Well, that's the most idiotic comment I've ever heard from a Man United senior official. If Andy Mitten says, are you looking for strikers? And they go, no, we're more focused on number 10s. What a stupid thing to say. Like Man United need a striker more than any other position. So that can only mean we're focusing on number 10s at the moment. We can't be focusing on number 10s right now. Mark Reed says Martin Svensson. Am I missing something here? I don't think I am. Let me have a look. I love it when people break the flow because sometimes in a morning show, you can get some breaking news, but... No, I don't think we've got anything. Don't think we have. What would be your ideal signing, says Nathan? Well, I'm very happy with Jokeres. I'm very happy with Mbeumo. I'm very happy with Cunha. I want a goalkeeper and I would like a midfielder. That would be a great start for me. I want to talk about Rashford. Don't panic, Mr. Mannering. Both deals are nailed on. No, because that's Scott. That would mean It's not going to happen. The only way to qualify for the Champions League next season is finishing in the top four. We must invest in six players. We can't afford to leave it to chances, Eric. I think this is a great, great comment by Eric. I think it's more a conversation for later on in the window, July, August. But I think this is a great point. Man United need to be in the Champions League. The Champions League now is such a cash cow and it's so big with the league system at the start. You've got to be in the Champions League. We saw that this year in the Europa League. It's a bit of a dead duck. I mean, I respect it, but it is a bit of a dead duck. Like, English teams should be dominating the Europa League now. Champions League's where you need to be in. If I'm Ineos and I'm the Glazers, I'm looking at the Champions League and I'm going, the only way we get in that is top four. And we're nowhere near. So maybe this is part of the investment strategy. Maybe this is why we're going for players of the quality that we're going for, because we know the upgrade needs to be massive. Mitten is great and insightful observer, but he's clearly not a transfer watcher. Won't have meant to trigger fears, as you say. Let's keep steady. Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. WGF. They got him on TalkSport, some shitty transfer show, asking him about transfers, and it's never really been what he's about. So I just think that's what I mean. It's not fake news. It's authentic, but he's not. That's not what he's about. So I think. Even he would say himself, I think he did say it. He's not there to say it's not going to happen. He's just got no evidence it is going to happen. It's not necessarily a good fit asking him about transfers. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't panic, essentially. If it was a certain other journalist, I'd say, what a load of bollocks. But, you know, they're talking out their arse. But it's just not a good fit for transfers. You're right. Why Hotameter based on what you saw on Sunday, says Marcus. I haven't updated it yet. Last summer, despite being linked to lots of players, we didn't know for certain who our targets were until we were close to here we go. Patience needed, says Patrick Lynch. And that monoxide poison says, just want the deals done. Don't want another saga like we had Frankie de Jong dragging on and on. Who would you get after Gyökeres if we get him? Goalkeeper Jamie. And Pipe says, first ever super chat. Good morning from Ireland to the best community on YouTube. Thank you very much, pal. Hope you're doing very well. Appreciate that. And Marlo says, I think United have had a gentleman agreement with Gyökeres all along. That's why Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool are using their energy on other targets, says Marlo. And Gyökeres equals most important signing, goal machine, says Dizzy. It's interesting what you say there, because a lot of people go, why is it so quiet on Gyökeres? Why is it so quiet on Gyökeres? And I think that what I would say about that is, what if Marlowe's right? What if since Amorim left Sporting, there's been a gentleman's agreement between Sporting, Gyökeres and Amorim that he would come to Man United, but not in January, in the summer? And hence, that's in place. And that will slow things down, because it might be, look, as long as you're here in early July, let us sell some players first. And may, you know, it might be fantasy, but Marlowe might be onto something. If that gentleman's agreement's in place and Gyökeres wants to come to Man United and Amorim wants him and Sporting want to sell him and Man United want to buy him and Man United are just saying, can you give us a couple of weeks to raise the funds? Then maybe that is what's going on, you know? Goal machine says Dizzy. Hope you're well this morning. I think we wanted Delap over Gyökeres due to resale value. Classic Sir Jim, says Andy. So I've got a few things I want to get through this morning. I don't normally look at my notes, but Rashi, blow. Sir Jim, definitely want to talk about that. Striker scenario. A little bit about Osimhen. Xerxy potentially going as well. BJ. What's BJ? Well, it can't be that, because Mrs. Goldbridge is at work today, so it won't be that. BJ, exclamation mark. It's not football related anyway. BJ. Oh, BJ. Ben Jacobs is on the show at 2 o'clock with Beth. See, there we go. It's always football related. BJ, Ben Jacobs is going to be on the show live at 2 o'clock. So get involved with that. I'm looking forward to that later. When are we going to start selling? It's all good being in for Mbeumo and Gyökeres, but Rashford, Sancho, Hoyland, Shaw and many more need to go, says Jack. That rhymed a little bit. Is the delay with Mbeumo because we're putting work in Gyökeres, or is it because of Brentford? Could we get a double deal hopeful, says Rahul. Well, let's come back to Mbeumo in a minute. Is Diego Leon a Ruben signing, says Kevin. No, I think it's more of Fivel. How good can Zubimendi be for Arsenal, says Ritik. Very good player. Right, let me hit a story here on outgoings just to change things up a little bit. I think it's important. So essentially, this is coming in from managing Barca on X, Mundo Deportivo. Barcelona are going all in for Luis Diaz and are no longer considering signing Nico Williams. This concerns me a little bit because remember last week we had this story about how Manchester United might loan Marcus Rashford. Garnacho's going to go, and Garnacho's going to go for money because people want Garnacho. Sancho won't go for money because nobody will pay it, and he wants to run his contract down. And Rashford's finding himself in a difficult situation now. There is no way back for Rashford at Manchester United, and I don't think he wants a way back at Manchester United. I don't think there's an English club that's going to give us what we want. Barcelona is his dream. Are Barcelona actually in for him? This is the thing. You know, he's out there training. I've seen the videos in Dubai. Is it in Dubai or the States or something? He's out there working hard. He's looking trim. He's looking fit. But is that move there for Marcus Rashford? Like, if Barcelona... And look, you can't knock them. If Barcelona are looking at Nico Williams and Diaz and not Rashford, then is anybody really going to sit here and go, they're idiots? Nico Williams is better than Rashford. Come on. And you could argue, well, I don't know. I think Rashford would be a very good signing for Barcelona. I think it would be a good deal for Barcelona. But if they think Luis Diaz is a better signing, then Rashford's a lot cheaper. But I don't panic. I don't think we are in a position where Marcus Rashford is a massive problem for Manchester United, in the sense that it's changed now. Like this time last year, I think you'd be like, well, what's going to happen then? He's back in pre-season, and where's he going to fit in? And he'll just get picked again, and this, that, and the other. The system doesn't suit him. There's been a public fallout with Ruben Amorim, and we're buying players that suit the system better than him. So there's no pathway back to the team if he comes back to pre-season. He wants to play in the World Cup next summer. It's on him and his agent to find him a move. And if Barcelona don't go for him, well, welcome to the world of setbacks. You've got to find somewhere else. So I'm not panicked about Rashford. I think United would like to move him on, but I don't think he's a huge amount of money, really, for the football club, in the sense that, yeah, he's on about 250, 300 grand a week, and that's like nearly £1 million a month. But he needs to play football. We can't give him football, so he's got to find a place to go. Where will he go? I'm not worried about Rashford. I think with Garnacho going, that's the big thing for Manchester United. And there may be other players that go that bring money in. So I think 6 months ago, maybe Rashford was the player that you needed to sell for 40 million quid to create funds. But because Garnacho's going, and I speak about Garnacho quite openly now because I didn't want him to go, but the decision's been made, you deal with it. It's like Bruno. I thought we should have took that money. And we can't really plead... I think this is really important. When people say United can't buy Gyökeres unless they get rid of Rashford, this, that, and the other, you know what I say? Bollocks. Absolute bollocks. You had £100 million on the table for a player that's not worth that, and you went no. So, you know, we've turned down £100 million from Saudi for Bruno. Bruno would have gone if we took the money. So we turned that down. You know what that says to me? We didn't need to sell Bruno. We didn't need to sell Bruno to get the players that we want in because we've already got a plan. If the club needed that money for Bruno to buy Cunha, Mbeumo, Gyökeres, they'd have bloody took it, but they didn't. So I look at the Rashford situation and I go, we clearly have other money coming in. We clearly have another pathway to buy players. I think we're quite relaxed about Rashford. And I actually think the pressure is on Rashford because Barcelona's his dream move. And if he doesn't get that, he's got to find another move somewhere. But there is no way back for him at United. So he's got to find a move. And also the clock is ticking with in relation to the autumn internationals. He's got to be in the England squad for that. So he's got to be playing football. So I think he'll find a move. I really do. I don't know where it will be, but I think he'll find a move. It's a shame about Barcelona, though. I really was quite excited about that. And maybe it still will happen. But you can't put your eggs all in one basket, can you? John says, good luck to Rashford, but have they ever been keen on him? I think it's his team doing the talking. He needs to widen his search. Very good point there. Any news on Lisandro Martinez? Says Ben. Should be back in September. Will be part of pre-season. Martin Svensson, thank you very much. JR says Diaz won't go to Barcelona. He's stated many times he's happy at Liverpool and wants to play for Liverpool. So hopefully Rashi can get the move, says JR. Hope so. Where do you think he will be playing next season, says Rory. Rashford, I think he will go Barca. I do. I think it might take a bit of time, but I do. What are we going to do with Malasias? He's got a liver. He'll go somewhere, won't he? It's not big money. He'll go. Jokeres and Mbeumo is a good for me. Goalkeeper is a must. Cannot endure Anon any more than the first 10 Premier League matches in the Premier League will set the tone, in my opinion, says Seth for Ruben Amorim. Jack says, when are we going to start selling? It's all good. I've done that one. Right, let me go back to Mbeumo then, because a lot of people are talking about Mbeumo this morning. There is a delay. David Ornstein saying there could be some movement this week. Mike Keegan saying meant to be a quiet day for Manchester United today. Look, I suspect that because we've got a here we go on Thomas Frank to Spurs, there will be some United fans going, oh God, here we go, Thomas Frank for Spurs. We haven't got Mbeumo done. Does this mean Spurs are going to get Mbeumo? I mean, that would be as bad as losing the Europa League final, if we're being honest. It would, wouldn't it? It would be very, very disappointing. But for the millionth time, it is completely and utterly, I mean, this is what Ben says, could Thomas Frank's departure slow down the Mbeumo deal? It is completely and utterly made up. There is absolutely nothing out there about Manchester United holding this deal up, or Brentford holding this deal up, or Mbeumo holding this deal up because of Spurs and Thomas Frank. The reality is that Manchester United are very, very advanced on an Mbeumo deal. We have completed personal terms with the player, and we are now negotiating with Brentford, who are not in a mad rush to sell their best player, having just lost their manager. Brentford are a team that doesn't exist anymore in the sense of what we know. Next season, Brentford will be a completely and utterly different side. They may be in a relegation battle. They may be better, but they're not Thomas Frank's Brentford anymore. They're not this team that are, you know, really difficult to beat, that had a really good home record, that, you know, can score loads of goals. So Brentford are going to go through an identity crisis. It's not in their interest to keep this going till August, because their new manager is going to want money. And whoever their new manager is, it's not like they're waiting for the new manager to come in so that the new manager can try and convince Mbeumo to stay. The new manager is going to want to walk in with the Mbeumo money ready to go. So delay, yes, but not long delay. This is negotiations. The only delay here is Man United and Brentford forming a plan on how this deal will be constructed. We're talking installments, we're talking add-ons, we're talking upfront fee. So I'm really not that worried about it. And you know me, I can have a moan with the best, but I'm really relaxed about everything around United at the moment, apart from one thing, which I'll tell you in a moment. But Mbeumo is advancing at a good pace. Jokeres is moving in the right direction. Rashford needs to sort it out himself. And then you've got Garnacho, who there is a lot of interest in Garnacho. I mean, Fabrizio Romano, he's everywhere, isn't he? I saw him on DAZN last night doing another video. And I mean, look, obviously I know how it works. A lot of people will say he's just regurgitating the same thing again. But the point is, he made a comment about the future of Garnacho. And that comment basically was that he wants to stay in the Premier League. You know, his priority is to stay in the Premier League. So I think that with Garnacho, that's the direct quote. Thank you. Someone in the chat just put it there. Fabrizio Romano, Garnacho's priority is to stay in England. What are your thoughts about that, by the way? We've heard it, we've seen it, but his priority is to stay in England. What are your thoughts on that? Genuinely, what are your thoughts on that? Because for me, I've always, well, we told you the morning after the final he's 100% leaving, and you can guess where that came from, because it wasn't the club. And we were also told that Napoli under Conte really appeals, and that'll be done by the end of the month. And then now you're hearing about Premier League. And I'm wondering what's changed. Because for me, Garnacho is perfect to get out of England. I don't know what his obsession with. It's not like he's treated well in England. Like, there's a lot of people who don't like him here. The media don't like him. So I don't really get why he wants to stay here, other than an element of respect that maybe at 20 he looks at this league and goes, Italian league's a step backwards. I need to be tested in the most intense and quick league in the world. Maybe it's money as well. Maybe financially he knows he'll get more money here as well. We can't dismiss that. But I sort of respect it in a way that his priority is to stay in England, because it just shows that maybe he doesn't want to wander off and be, you know, in a league that's not as good. Maybe he's like, I want to prove you wrong here. I want to develop here. I want to earn the money here. I want to prove everybody wrong here. And I think you've got to respect that. So easy to go to Napoli in a league where he will cook. He will. I mean, the Italian... I mean, Mkhitaryan still playing centre midfield in the Italian league. Guess what player's just gone to play in the Italian league at bloody 92? Modric. The Italian league is slow. It's slow. And as Christian said, it could be the World Cup factor as well if he's shining in the Premier League. So I respect the fact that Garnacho is now prioritising staying in this country, because it's the harder decision. Easier to go to play Napoli. The question is, where does he go? And I think the question is, if he wants to stay here, what do you think of that as a Man United fan? What does the Man United board think of that? And I've said this so many times, you can't have your cake and eat it. I'm a fan of Garnacho. I like Garnacho. I wish it wasn't ending this way, but I've got on with it. I deal with it. It's fine. There's people out there that don't like Garnacho, as we know, think he's shit, this, that, and the other. We can't have our cake and eat it. You can't say, get rid of Garnacho, he's shit, this, that, and the other, and then say, well, he's not going to a Premier League club. If you don't think he's good enough and you don't want him at this club, you can't then start going, but you're not going anywhere else. If we don't want him, you take the best option on the table. And let's say Arsenal want to give us 50 million with 15 million add-ons, and, you know, Napoli want to give us 40 million with 15 million add-ons, you take the 50. You take the money, don't you? So I don't think we can't be in a position where we kick a 20-year-old out of the club and then go, but you're not going to a Premier League club. I think that's almost a little bit, it's a bit of a dictatorship, and we can't be like that. We're kicking him out of Man United. We have to accept that you can't destroy a player's career completely. And if a Premier League club comes in and he wants to go there, then, you know, I suppose what I'm trying to say is, if United are concerned about him going to a Premier League club and doing well, why are we letting him go in the first place? You know, you're either totally confident that you're right to get rid of him and you don't care where he goes, or you don't do it. You can't go, we want to sell you, but only to Italy. We're not selling you to a Premier League club. You know, he's either good enough for the Premier League or he's not. And if he's good enough for the Premier League, then maybe we shouldn't be letting him go. I think if he wants to stay in the Premier League and there's a Premier League club that wants him, then you've got to let him go. As long as the only thing I would say about a Premier League club is that you've got to be financially recompensed. You can't let him go on the cheap. Which signing do you think will be the most transformative, says Jack? If we get a good goalkeeper, that could be transformative. If you get Gyökeres and he scores loads of goals, that could be transformative. But actually, I would also say, if you get people like Cunha in the number 10 position and have genuine creativity from there, that would be transformative. There's a few positions, really. Should we buy proven stars or invest in development of youth, says Eric. Do you think that buying players like Cunha will undermine our identity and ruin trust of potential generation talent from our academy? I completely do disagree with this, Eric. Maybe you're new to the show. I do not think that we should be ignoring buying players like Cunha to stop the development of generational talent from our academy, because I've spent most of last season moaning and frustrated about the lack of experience in our team. You know, you can't just chuck kids in, as we've seen. You've got to bring experienced players in. Calvert-Lewin's leaving, so Everton for Rashford, says Fez. Why is no one mentioning DeMarco or Grimaldo as a left midfielder would be perfect in this system, says William. Rashford and Sancho were the future once. Times move on brutally, says FWG. I'd say that we need 4 to 5 players so that we can realistically compete for a top 4 spot, says Spooky. I personally think after Mbeumo and the striker position, United will go for a goalkeeper and not sign anyone else unless the sales go smoothly, says Fowler. Look, I actually think if you get Gyökeres, Mbeumo, Cunha and a goalkeeper, everything else, is you still need more, but you sort of go, we've got enough to start the season with. Anders says, I think Rashford needs to realise he's not a Barcelona quality player. I'm seriously worried when United go quiet. Delays in purchasing and selling, says Slow Sports News. Having said that, it's only the 10th of June. When is your next Romano interview in United stand? It's been a long time since I've seen you together, says Jude. Never say never, but yeah, not likely for a while. What are we doing with Tyrell Malacia? Well, we've done that one, haven't we? I want to bring this in. I still want to talk about Osimhen, of course, and I still want to talk about the Xerxes story too. But I want to bring this in because this is just a bit of news that's a little bit different. So this was in the Mail this morning. Todd Boehly, Chelsea owner. Before Todd Boehly bought Chelsea, Sir Jim Ratcliffe made a last-minute attempt to hijack the deal. Ratcliffe called then-Chelsea chairman Bruce Buck and requested an urgent meeting. During the meeting, he kept knocking on his chest and claiming to have a written offer in his pocket, a scene that contradicts other official offers contained in 140 pages of documents. He confirmed that his bid was entirely funded by British sources, but PAC told him that they had already chosen a preferred party. However, Sir Jim met with Rain later that morning and made a formal offer of £4.25 billion, matching other bids. But his late intervention upset the rest of the competitors, and as Book had warned him, it came too late. The Boyle-Clear Lake Alliance was confirmed as the winner of the deal. I think people are going to wander off on different things when they hear that, because I did as well. Some people are going to go, Chelsea fan, why has he bought Man United? You know what I thought? £4.25 billion. You've only put 1.5 into Man United. Where's the other bloody three? Where's the 3 billion, Sir Jim? So that's what I thought about that. He wanted to buy Chelsea. We know he wanted to buy Chelsea. I think he tried to buy half of Barcelona. I'm not really that bothered about that. But what I am bothered about is that the volume of money he was looking to invest into Chelsea. 4.25 billion to buy them. And I presume there was a load more money coming in as well. So he's broke now, but I don't know. Look, I never massively would have had don't put massively twice in the same sentence. Come on. I wouldn't have had a huge issue if Sir Jim Ratcliffe had bought Man United, but he didn't. He got into bed with the Glazers. That's my big problem. It's the fact that the Glazers are still here. Maybe Sir Jim Ratcliffe wouldn't be a bad owner if he owned the whole club. I just can't stand this Glazer relationship. That's my big issue. So, look, I thought it was quite interesting to bring in that he was desperately last minute trying to get hold of Chelsea. But we all know he tried to get over Chelsea. He's never bloody lied. He had his Chelsea season ticket. My problem is that he tried to buy all of Chelsea. And at United, he's just bought 20, 30%, hasn't he? And it will always annoy me. Always. Good morning, Mark. I have faith in the players we are looking at. I also have faith we will finish in the top 8 next season. Man United for life, says Wesley. Jack says, Jack Fraser, your sacrificial lamb statement has stuck with me for a while. Do you believe any players have matched this yet? Look, the sacrificial lamb signing is the sacrificial lamb sale only works on maybe 2 or 3 players. So effectively what that means is you get rid of a major asset in the hope that although it will hurt, in the long term, it will be better for you. So For example, Bruno Fernandes would have been a sacrificial lamb in the sense that our best player, our captain, gets sold for the greater good. I don't think anybody would deny that Bruno's our best player and captain, but some of us looked at it and went, I don't really think he suits the system that much. He's not 25, he's 31. And that amount of money could be spent so much better. So that would be it. I don't think there's another sacrificial. I don't think Garnacho's a sacrificial lamb. I think Garnacho's what Chelsea do. And there we go again. Man United's obsession with Chelsea. There isn't. Remember I told you that at the start of April. I know a few people who work at United, and I've been told it twice, to be fair. There seems to be an obsession with Chelsea at Manchester United. Now, I don't know whether that's because Favell got sacked by them. I don't know whether it's because Sir Jim tried to buy them. But we definitely do have a bit of an obsession with Chelsea. And the Garnacho thing and the Mainu thing is Chelsea driven. I think there was an article in the paper at the weekend that United are trying to model themselves on Chelsea. We shouldn't be trying to model ourselves on Chelsea, by the way. There are better clubs to model ourselves on than Chelsea. I quite like the way Liverpool do it. If Man City haven't cheated, I quite like the way Man City do it. I prefer Arsenal, the way they do it. Chelsea, I don't like the way Chelsea do it. Chelsea basically buy loads of young players and will sell any young player for pure profit to balance the books. If you look at Chelsea over the last 3 years, FFP-wise, it's really good. So I look at that and I think it's an interesting thing in that sense. That would be good. Wasn't Rashford sacrificial to send a message, says Glenn C. Martin Svensson, welcome to Members Club. I have a faith in the players. We've done that from Wesley. Selling Garnacho to an English rival means we can demand a higher fee. I'd still prefer it to him to go aboard, says Wilco. Yeah, there is a financial benefit to that. Since when have we ever sold to rivals, says Nicholas. And hi, Mark. It's a new world, Nicholas. That's what I'm trying to say there. I think that Sir Jim Radcliffe, we saw this back in January. He wants to implement a Chelsea strategy of selling young players for profit. Look at what Chelsea did with Conor Gallagher. It upset a lot of Chelsea fans, but now they'll be used to it. He wants to implement that in because in the football game at the moment, it's a very good way to make money. Hi, Mark. Which sign do you think will be the most? I've done that one from Jack. Okay, let's move on. I want to talk about a story that's come in from where's it come in from? Italy. So basically, it's saying, I think it was Gazzetta dello Sport saying that Manchester United have approached Napoli with a Xerxes plus money deal for Osimhen. We're here to react to the news on this show. There are people out there that would absolutely love to see Osimhen at the football club, myself included. I think that's goes without saying. But what I will say is that Gyökeres is obviously going to be the priority. And what I will say is, I think for about 3 months now, we have spoken numerous times about Rasmus, Garnacho, Xerxes, plus money for Osimhen. So I feel that this is a story that belongs towards the back end of the show because that's basically where this story's come from, the back end, because it's shit. Some of you probably didn't need to have that extra bit to realise what I was talking about. It's just a nonsense story. We've seen it with Garnacho, we've seen it with Rasmus, now we're seeing it with Xerxes. Man United, Xerxes to Napoli, plus cash for Osimhen. I don't think people realise just how long that deal would take to do. Mkhitaryan and Sanchez in that January transfer window basically took all month. It's, these deals are not easy. They're not easy. Like, you've got, in that scenario, you've got Osimhen, who's got multiple offers from Saudi, Turkey, and God knows elsewhere. And then United come in. So you've got to negotiate with Osimhen, who's got loads and loads of offers. That's going to be hard. Then you've got Napoli, who would want Xerxes. Then you've got Xerxes, who would have all his demands. It would be a bloody nightmare to do. No, Man United aren't going to want to do that. So these deals sound really great. And people get really excited about them on social media. Oh, Rasmus plus money for Osimhen. Or Garnacho. But that's just the reason they don't happen very often is because they are a bloody nightmare to do. It's double the work, double the agents, double the people involved, and of course that's double the trouble. And also what happens there is, and it happened with Mkhitaryan and Sanchez, Mkhitaryan was the lesser player in that deal, but Mkhitaryan's representatives made the deal harder. And ego starts to play. Oh, they're all ready to go on their side. Well, we're not. So it's just a big, massive no. I'd be very surprised if we saw a deal like that at Man United at any point in the near future, not just this summer transfer window, next one or the year after. I don't think we would want to go anywhere near that. So I think they're always a nice story that comes out that people like to debate and discuss. But the reality is they're very, very difficult to do. Very, very difficult to do indeed. I sort of come back to this. In relation to the transfer window at the moment, as it says on the thumbnail, don't panic. As it says on the title, delay. Delay doesn't mean panic. Patience is a virtue and always has been. And I think that the way I look at it is that, you know what? I'm quite relaxed. The Gyökeres deal is moving, personally, from where we were 2 days ago, in the perfect direction. Very, very excited about that. Very, very, you know, confident that we can get that deal done. And Mbeumo, even more confident. Just going to take a bit of time. Just going to take a bit of time. As I said, Rashford, Garnacho, they're going to have to find a move. Antony, they're going to have to find a move. And they will. The only position that I'd say, you know, I don't want to be accused of toxic positivity here, because I can't stand those people. I block them more than haters. I can't stand the toxic positivity fakers out there. And I'm not going to be one of those. So I will give you a little bit of negativity. The one that is concerning me at the moment is the goalkeeper. That's the only position that I would have a moan about. But not yet. I mean, it's still only early June. I'm not, you know, throwing my chair on the floor, but that's the one I'm a little bit concerned about, because I just can see that Gyökeres, Mbeumo, Garnacho, these are going to take us up to the end of the month. And if we do anything else, I'd be very surprised. I think those three deals basically cover the next 3 weeks and maybe a bit longer. So what does that mean? That means July, we're back for pre-season training, and here's an honour. Oh, US tour, here's an honour. Oh, first game of the season, here's an honour. And that is something that worries me, because it's like, it's such an important position to get rid of. It's such an important position to change. We know that Ruben Amorim wants to do something about it, but he's the, I remember I always say to you, I've said it to you for years, one of the scariest things about the early July is the pictures out of Carrington when you see Donny van der Beek or Andreas Pereira walking back with a smile on your face, and you go, oh my God, I forgot they were still here. And I think that there's not going to be as many of those this year, but I think Onana's going to be one of those that walks in with a smile and you go, I like Onana, by the way, I've got nothing against him, but we're talking about his goalkeeping ability. When he walks in with his bag under his arm, smiling, and you go, oh God, he's number one again, isn't he, next year? That worries me a little bit, because it's sort of like, it is a major position, and there's nothing going on at the moment. Nothing. And I don't detect, from what I've asked, and I think I'm going to get Beth to ask it at 2 o'clock as well. I don't detect that there is anything going on with the goalkeeper at the moment. I think United are focused on Mbeumo. obviously the Gyökeres thing, they've got players wanting to leave. And Arne, I just don't think it's on the agenda at the moment. Now, is that because we're going to leave it till July, or is that because we're not going to do anything about it because we haven't got the money to do anything about it? But I think we all know if you've got Gyökeres, Mbeumo, Cunha, you should score more goals. But if you've got an Arne in goal, there's going to be occasions where, you know, you're playing really well away from home against Bournemouth. Yeah, you're 1-0 up. You've played really, really well. Last 10 minutes, you dig in to keep the result. Cross comes into the back post. He loses the sight of the ball and it goes in 1-1. That's what worries me about goalkeepers. Some people will be sat there going, oh, it's okay for one more season. It'll be fine. That's all right when you're saying it in the summer transfer window. I've been there. But let's put ourselves in that situation. We're not going to go everywhere and be 4-0 up because of the strikers we've brought in or the attackers we've brought in. There will be games like Stamford Bridge or Arsenal at home or, you know, Man City or whatever, or even, let's be honest, Forest away, Newcastle at home. There'll be games where it's a bit tight and the shot comes in and he palms it into danger and, oh, we've conceded. And that, you know, that's what David De Gea was so valuable at. Those moments where he keeps you in the game, or, you know, he makes a save and stops you from drawing and you win. That's why the goalkeeper, and so many of you talk about it, but that's why the goalkeeper position is a priority. It's not a position where United can go, oh, we'll just stick with it. We'll stick with it for another year, because it will cost us. Unfortunately, it will cost us. And I'm a firm believer that when a player's been here for 2 years, you've got a right to go, this is, you know, it's not a new signing anymore. I've seen enough. We said it with Anthony. Some people are doing it with Rasmus. We said it with Sancho. And I think you can say it with Onana as well. You've got to look at it and go, I think he's got deficiencies that he's not going to change. Hi from Singapore, says Yanis. Glinios out with signings from last summer, Dorgu and what we're doing now. How do you rate our business when under them? I think it's too early, Yana. I mean, I sort of answered my question there inadvertently. We've only had 1 year of Ineos. I think it would be very unfair to say they're great or they're bad in transfers, because if you think about it, there's been summers where you'd say the Glazers did well and then they don't follow it up. I'm a firm believer that when it comes to transfers, it's what you do over a 2 or 3 year period. Everybody can spend money in the first year. It's what you do in the second and third year. If we buy before selling, can clubs underpay us knowing we have to get rid, says Jack. Well, one thing I did see that Andy Mitten said that's spot on, and many of you have said it as well, is that United, again, it will all come down to what they can move out of the football club, because there are players at this football club who are paid wages attributable to some of the best players in the world. That's a fact. There are players, Mason Mount's on 250 grand a week. Luke Shaw's on 200 grand a week. Casemiro's on 300 grand a week. You know, we pay wages that are some of the best wages in the footballing world. So the fear is that in August, you're going to end up with players that are definitively not part of Man United's plans and you can't move them on. So, you know, you've still got to judge that. We will sign Gyökeres, as that's the only one we're linked with. Do you think we have time to be linked to anyone else and get them in time, says Sammy? Well, we were after Delap, and, you know, who knows where we'd go after that. People forget it's not FIFA. A swap doesn't get done with a click of a finger, says King Callum. Tyrus has gifted a membership. Thank you very much. Pink Mystical Unicorns, Fortnite. Thank you very much for your super chat. Appreciate that. Martin Svensson, welcome as well. Look, we have got a very exciting day ahead for you. Loving the 8 o'clock shows at the moment as well. Really, really am. And we've got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock. I'm going to request that Beth specifically asks about a goalkeeper. But we'll also be talking about Gyökeres straight away and Mbeumo. In fact, if you get in the comment section with questions you'd like for Ben Jacobs, I will make sure that Beth assesses them before the show and we'll get some of those in. But obviously, it'll be a live chat as well. So you can do super chats or just get in the chat as well. So that'll be good. See you all at 2 o'clock. I will be in the chat. Looking forward to that. Can't wait. And you've been brilliant this morning as well. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. Speak to you all in a bit. Take care.